Early this morning in California, Donald Beardsley was executed for murdering two women in 1981. It was the state's first execution in 3 years. The execution took place at San Quentin Prison. San Quentin is not only home to the state's death row, it is also a place where officials hope to rehabilitate inmates. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, in his State of the State address, made reforming California's prison system one of his top priorities.
It is an agency in which there has been too much political influence and too much union control and too little management courage and accountability.
In the second of two reports on California's prisons, NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports on how the new chief of adult prisons hopes to turn the system around.
It's late morning at San Quentin State Prison. An inmate leads more than a dozen fellow prisoners in a class about anger management.
Now put your right hand on your heart. And your left hand on your stomach, and say, I'm safe.
I'm safe.
I'm alive.
I'm alive.
Everything's okay.
To the outside observer, the calm in the room belies every expectation about life behind bars.
Hi, my name is Henry. I've been in this program for about 18 months now. I'm doing 6 years for a violent crime. I'm very familiar with anger.
This is just one of the programs at San Quentin where the focus is on rehabilitation instead of punishment. It's run with the help of community volunteers like Jacques Verdun.
Henry is an example of somebody that doesn't look today the way he came in. He's taken every class we have in that place. So we have enormous buy-in from the inmates. They really want to turn their lives around.
The new director of California's adult prisons knows that kind of approach works. Ginny Woodford made rehabilitation a priority when she was a warden of San Quentin, and now she's counting on programs like these to help turn around a system known for its violence, corruption, and mismanagement.
For a time period in the 80s and 90s even, there was a belief that there wasn't anything you could do to change offenders. But since that time, there's now actually many studies that have been done that show that some programs do work.
The problem we're seeing nowadays is there is no middle ground. You're either left or you're right.
Right. So we know, and we've, I think, talked a little bit about...
In the evening at San Quentin, every seat is filled in the American government class. This is California's only on-site prison college program. Jeff Brooks is serving a life sentence under the three strikes law. He used to be skeptical about taking classes behind bars, but not anymore.
You want to do something good for yourself. We don't want to just be sitting in here idle, because I could go out to the yard and sit around and talk about the last crime somebody committed or how they did it or how they got away with something, but that's doing nothing for me internally. I mean, I've heard thousands of those kind of stories. But if some guy starts telling me, well, why do you use an adjective before a noun, and what does it do, and, you know, it makes a big difference.
The college classes at San Quentin exist solely because of the support of volunteer teachers. Inmate Billy Booker says the atmosphere at San Quentin helped free him from the prison of his own mind.
It's not these walls or these bars. It's what's inside my head. That's the only thing that keeps me in prison. The old male role belief system, that image that I try to let it control my life, is phony. It doesn't exist.
The outside world may have a hard time accepting the idea of giving a convicted criminal a free college education, but inmates will tell you that accepting rehabilitation is sometimes more difficult than punishment. Lifer Brian Smith says that's when many convicts are forced to face the facts.
They have to admit that their current identity as a thug is not working. For someone to admit that they don't know how to read and write, and usually those are the loudest people on the yard talking the most, they have to go to school, and people are walking by, and they know that classroom is where people learn how to read fourth grade level. And right away, you're exposed to the fact that you're illiterate. Your identity is killed.
Rehabilitating a prisoner is one thing, but it's another matter to send inmates back to the communities where they have bleak job prospects. Jeannie Woodford says that point was recently driven home during a visit to the Watts neighborhood in Los Angeles, where she met one community group.
They said, "Do you know, Director, you send 100 parolees a week to Watts?" I went, "No, I didn't know that." And they said, "We have a 50% unemployment rate." I said, "Really? So, Director, what is it you think you can do inside your prison that's going to make a difference here?"
Woodford thinks the answer may be creating a pilot program in Watts that will help newly released parolees connect with employers, churches, and community organizations. As for the inmates still behind bars, one recent survey found that Californians are ready to take a more compassionate approach with nonviolent offenders, as long as it pays dividends. The poll was sponsored by the National Center for Crime and Delinquency. Barry Crisberg is the group's president.
We found across the board in every question we asked that the public is endorsing what I would call a comprehensive rehabilitation approach. They want services to inmates while they're in prison, and they want strong reentry services.
But even with Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's mandate to reform California's troubled prisons, changing the system won't be easy. Critics wonder whether anyone can do it, especially when the state is looking at an $8 billion budget deficit. With all eyes on her, Jeannie Woodford admits it will take time, but she says she's determined.
On any given day in America, 1.5 million children have one or two parents in prisons. If that doesn't motivate you to do something about this issue, I don't know what will.
Richard Gonzalez, NPR News.